Yes, I do.
Well, good Sunday evening to you. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation. Go with me to chapter number 2. Revelation in chapter number 2. If you're enjoying having the Calvary Quartet here, say amen. Amen. I don't know how you could not enjoy these guys as they present the message of the cross in song and present it to you so by God's grace you'll accept it and go forward with it and let it be greatly used in your life. Don't forget we have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and this meeting is history, but we pray it's His story. We pray that by the grace of God, His story will be told all over this county and this nation, and people understand why in the world there is such a place as this church where you can come and have folks under the sound of the Word of the living God. How many would you say, I'll plan to be back tomorrow night in the Monday night service? Would you put your hand up real high, please? God bless you. We'll look forward to having you. How many of you have been inviting somebody to come with you? You've been good for you. God bless you. And you keep inviting and some people will come. Stand out of respect for the Word of God, Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which said they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted nevertheless. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else, I'll come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. If you look at verse 4, it's my text. Very plain. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Title of the message tonight, The Danger of Desertion. Thank you. You may be seated. We'll pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Word of God, the God of the Word. Neither will change. Both can change us. May we be wide open to the changes by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If anybody's joined us tonight but never been born again, get them lost so they can get saved and put their faith in you. For those of us who name the name of Jesus, if we find that we have deserted you in any area of our Christian walk, may we repent and come back and enjoy the blessings of God that we knew earlier as we walk closer to you. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Revelation may be viewed both prophetically and practically. If you go to chapter 4, you will read, come up hither. All the way to the end of the book, it's about Bible prophecy, part of which we'll be talking about on Wednesday night. But chapter 2 and 3 are more practical in nature. They deal with 7 distinct churches in the first century, and God wants everybody to know what condition they're in. The first of the 7 churches is the church of Ephesus. There are a lot of good things about the church of Ephesus. Unfortunately, there was one bad thing which actually ruined their testimony, and God had to deal with it. But I want you to start tonight with me on God's commendation for the church. If you look down in verse number 1, unto the angel of the church, the pastor of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, walks in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks. He said, let me stop and tell you how excited I am about some things that you're doing. First of all, he said, let me stop and tell you how excited I am about your diligence. You don't come occasionally, you come constantly. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work. The 7th day is holy. It's set apart for God. In John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, I must do the works of them while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor working with his hands. There are days in the week that we're to put forth every effort to get the gospel out. There's another day called Sunday that's set aside specifically so we can come and spend time worshiping and exalting and giving glory to the God who gives us breath to do that. These people were diligent. But second of all, they were disciplined. The Bible says I know your works and your labor and your patience. It's interesting. The word patience carries the idea of to be endurance and to be courageous. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, it's required in stewards that a man be found. Anybody know the next word? What's the next word? That's exactly what it is. Full of faith, overcome by faith, wanting to touch somebody's life by faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. These people didn't come to church when they wanted to. They came when they ought to. They were faithful in their attendance. And then third, they were discerning. He says, you have the apostles' power, and you have found that many that name the name of Christ really are not genuinely born again. Matthew 7, 15, beware of false prophets. You say that statement was made in the first century. It needs to be made good and loud in the 21st century. Because we have as many liars on television as we've ever had in the history of this nation. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test the spirits to see whether they be of God. You can always tell if a spirit is telling you the truth because they will stay with the Bible. When you find somebody on television that is smooth and eloquent and sharp, but they're not telling you the truth, you cut them off and leave the Word of God open and read what it says, not what they said it says. If you'll do that, you'll get the commendation of God, God's commendation of the church. Then there's God's condemnation of the church. He says down in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because, now he's very plain here, thou hast left thy first love. This is a very strong statement. When he says, I'm against you, he said, you've upset me. You've irritated me. You have turned me away from you, even with all the good things you're doing because of the things that you're doing that are not good. You've left. You've abandoned. You've walked away from your first love. You know, when something's first, everything else is second. You didn't get that. I'm going to say it again. When something is first, everything else is second. And the question tonight is, are things that are supposed to be second, third, and fourth become number one in your life? Then you've walked away from first love Christianity. He said you left your first love. Now the word leave carries the idea of to abandon, to desert, not to want anymore, not to have it on the top of your list. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. The ultimate aim of my charge, says Paul, is genuine love. Many of you memorize 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith that I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Those three verses simply say this, life minus God's love is nothing. You may have a degree in the Greek language, but minus God's love is nothing. You may be a person who can conjugate different verbs and feel like you're impressing people, but all you're doing is depressing people instead of impressing them and helping them go to the next step. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, God says, besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith knowledge. Let me say to you tonight, if you don't have faith, you don't have enough knowledge to understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't make any difference how ingenious you are in the languages, three of which were written in the Bible. If you don't have genuine Bible love, then you don't have that which gives you the opportunity to minister grace to people who are in definite need. Add to your faith. When did you put faith in Christ? Well, I've always had faith in Christ. No, my friend, you've always been lost. There comes a time and a place when you realize that your lostness will never get you near Jesus until you acknowledge that He is the only one that can take away your lostness and give you eternal life. You repent of your sin, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and when He comes into your life, He comes in to stay, and He comes in not just today, but for all the rest of your eternity. Has that ever happened to you? If it hasn't, it can tonight. You add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, genuine love. Put simply together, life minus the love of Christ is nothing. Life minus the love of Christ is nothing. And until you understand that, and until He reigns supreme in your life, you have nothing. Because life without the love of Christ is nothing. So the question tonight is, have you left first love Christianity? As I began to study this passage of Scripture, I thought of a variety of ways that people leave their first love. Number one, they leave it because of a coolness towards the Savior. If you study your Bible in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment. Jesus repeated that in Matthew 22, 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. So from century to century, it continues to resound. You love Jesus. If you love anybody, you love Jesus. It's an amazing thing. It's a concentrated love. And you can concentrate on Jesus and still not love Him. But if you love Him, you'll concentrate on Him. And a person who doesn't really love Him never concentrates on Him. He concentrates on what he can get from Him, not what he can give to Him. It's a consecrated love. It means you love Him with your heart, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and nothing and no one comes between you and Jesus Christ. It's a communicated love. It's one that you communicate to Him and to others about Him. As I studied through my Bible, I was in Luke chapter 10, and I noticed the story of Mary and Martha, and Jesus comes to the house. When He comes to the house, He immediately ask about Martha and Mary and their relationship with Jesus. What kind of relationship did they have? Well, it seems to be more surface than it did substantial. And she was more concerned about what she was going to feed Jesus than what Jesus was going to feed her. And because of that, it put a distance and put up a occupying shield between she and Jesus Christ. I have a question tonight. Has anything or anybody taken away your first love for Jesus Christ? Second, you can tell if you've left your first love because there'll be a callousness about sin. You'll find that when a person loves the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not callous about sin, they're sensitive to sin. Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. It's two sides of the same coin. If you really love God, then the proof of it will be what you hate. If you love what God hates, then you don't really love God. Let me say that again. If you love what God hates, then you don't really love God. Because when you love God, anything God hates, you'll hate too, and you want nothing to do with it. Psalm 101 in verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. How much? Zero. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Do you hate the programs on television that use profanity and pornography? Or do you watch those things and allow them to seep into the pores of your soul? In Genesis chapter 39, we read this morning that Joseph looked at Mrs. Potiphar and he said, how can I do, don't miss this, this great wickedness. You know why she hated sin? Or why he hated sin? Because the Savior he loved hated sin. It would be interesting for me to go to your car or truck tonight and say, let me borrow your keys and turn on your radio and find out what it's on. What CD? What MP3? Because what you play is what you are. And the more songs you play that are anti-God, the more anti-God you are. And the question tonight is, are you calloused about sin? Number three, you'll be contented with self. You'll get into service like this and it'll all of a sudden get you and you'll say, well, everybody's just not as good as this man thinks they ought to be. No, everybody's not as good as God thinks they ought to be. I didn't write the book. And I'm under the same authority that you're under. And what God tells you, He tells me. And if I decide that I'm an evangelist and I'm in better shape because I preach the Word of God and I don't have to obey as much of it, I'm wrong with God. You know, when a person gets close to God, he sees how bad he is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, Paul said, I'm the least of all the apostles. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul said, I'm less than least than all the saints. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. It's interesting, if you find those verses and you find the order in which they were written, you'll find that when you get to 1 Timothy 1:15, it was written later, almost right at the end of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Simply translated, the closer you get to God, the less you'll think of yourself. The question I have for you tonight is, what do you think of yourself? Job was a man after God's own heart. He had a family that seemed to walk with God, but he prayed for them that they would walk closer to God. There comes a day that Satan comes to God and says, if this man is really yours, let me test him. And God permits him to test him. As a matter of fact, he kills the flocks and herds. He kills all of his children. All that Job has left is his wife, and he's not so sure what he has in her. Because she's the one who complains and said, if you really belong to God, then curse God and you'll die. Woman, do you not realize that the same God that gave us life is the same God who continues to give us life? Why would you want him cursed? You get to chapter 38, and after all the times that he's been through, he has never cursed God. He's cursed his day, but he's never cursed God. But in that day, he begins to curse the fact that he was born. He begins to curse other things. Though he never cursed God, he cursed other things. And that goes all the way to chapter 42, when God says, Job, put your garment around you and answer this question. Where were you when I started earth? Where were you when I gave people the opportunity to understand and be saved by the grace of God? Where were you? And Job said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, listen to what he says, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Number four, you can tell if you've left your first love because there'll be a carelessness about souls. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 3, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. In Romans 10:1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. If you study the Gospel of John, you'll find that John says, I wish I had not been born. When you study through, you'll find John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And in John chapter 4, you'll find that those who really love Jesus don't love themselves. So my question for you tonight is, who do you love? Who do you talk most about? Who do you spend your life magnifying, thinking about, wanting others to see how great he is? I'm amazed when I meet different people and they say, well, I can't because I'm too old. Is anybody here tonight 105? I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just trying to ask a question. Well, I know a man that's 105, and he checked himself into a nursing home 3 years ago. And the pastor said, brother, you're not in need of a nursing home. Why are you going? He said, I've witnessed everybody out here. I'm going to witness to everybody in there. So I said to the pastor about 3 weeks ago, how's he doing? Oh, he's still going. And he's led 73 senior citizens to Jesus Christ. It's not bad for 105. Not bad at all. And the question is whether you're looking for another excuse or you're looking for another person to share your faith with. And finally, you can tell if you've left your first love because there'll be a contentiousness with other saints. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you're the kind of person that every time you witness to somebody, they get upset, and you get upset, you're not rightly representing Jesus. When Jesus was rebuked, he continued to love. John 13, 35, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. Who is it that you've got a burr in your saddle with tonight? Who is it that upsets you? It could be a family member. It could be a distant family member. It could be somebody you work with on the job. It could be somebody that's very profane and very perverted. And when they talk, they know that they're irritating you. And so they use those kind of languages that wants to make you stay at a distance from them. Who is it that irritates you? That if the work were done and you could do it, you'd just help God take them out. Well, let me tell you, if you have a person like that on your hit list, you don't love Jesus. When a person loves Jesus, they don't hate others. They love others that hate them. Some of you didn't get that. I'm going to say it twice. They don't hate others. They love others that hate them. And until that kind of love is seething in your soul, you don't really have the love of Jesus. You've seen the commendation, the condemnation. Let me show you the correction and we'll go home. Look down in verse 5. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick. I'll literally remove your church out from under you. In case you're wondering, that's what the word candlestick is in each one of the passages. And he says this, if you don't give me your life, if you don't start learning to love like I love, I can take your church in a heartbeat and you'll never know it was there. I can tell you about churches that I was in back in my first year of evangelism that do not exist now. I can tell you about places that one day the church was full and people would come and they'd raise their hands and they'd get excited, but it doesn't exist now. Because what happened was they got complacent. They lost their joy. It walked out on them. They didn't pray for it to come back, and so God just took the church. Why did he take the church? Well, number one, because they didn't remember God. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In the book of Numbers chapter, book of Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14, remember the Lord. How often during the process of a day do you think about Jesus? How long has it been since you just paused where you were and said, Lord, I just want to tell you, I don't have a lot of time because I'm on the clock, but I love you. And I'm privileged to be your child. Don't ever let me get used to that. He said, repent or remember. Second, he said, repent. That's even harder than remembering. It's one thing to remember and you get a little shook up when you say, I used to love Jesus more than I love him, but When you get to the place where God says repent, what He's saying is you need open heart surgery. What you used to do and what you do now is not the same thing. And I'd like, as the surgeon of your soul, to do open heart surgery and give you back what you had one day and you gave away. Ezekiel 14:6, repent and turn yourselves from your idols. Repent, change your mind. What do you need to change your mind about tonight? And then he says, repeat, do the first works. Do you remember shortly after you got saved, you came to church and you didn't know the songs and you had to keep looking at them, and you looked around, everybody else was just looking and singing, and you said, man, they've been saved for a while. Maybe one of these days I'll be like that. Well, I found that I got like that and didn't even know what I was singing. Some of you didn't get that. I said, I got like that and didn't even know what I was singing, nor who I was singing to. Because when you leave First Love Christianity, it won't make any difference who you're singing to. But when you have First Love Christianity, you'll come back and one more time you'll sing to Jesus. Are you the kind of person that used to get excited about hearing the truths of the Word of God, but now unless the guy is funny or unless he's really excitable, he's just one more guy in your block pulpit? I got to where I could sit through services and not even know what the guy preached on. And by the way, if you've never been there, don't go there. Because you don't have to go there. As you're walking down the pavement and coming into the building and you have your Bible and you find your seat, get your heart and mind ready to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you can come to church service after service after service, and it doesn't make any difference how God works. It doesn't make any difference if somebody gets saved. It doesn't make any difference if God changes you. You've left your first love. Remember, repent, and repeat. Do the first works. I moved to Kansas City with my wife and family years ago. My pastor said, go get a haircut from Ted. He said, Ted is lost and he'll cut your hair and he needs Jesus. And he said, I think you could reach him. And he said, by the way, he comes to work 15 minutes before the other barbers. The barber shop always opened at 7. So I'd go when I got my hair cut at 6:45 because I knew he would be there. And I'd usually have 10, 11 minutes. And I'd talk to him about the Lord and he got interested. And I said, I'm doing a revival meeting. Would you come and be my guest? Where is it? And I told him where it was, and I told him how to get there, and he said, I'll be there. He said, I'll be there on Sunday morning. The church was running about 1,100 to 1,150 at that time, and I spotted him. He came in the side door, and when he came in and sat down, he had his eye on the door, and I knew what that meant. It means if I hear something I don't like, I'm going out that door as fast as I came in that door. Well, he didn't go out that door without first coming to the front and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. He went and bought him a brand new Bible. A few weeks later, I came and I got my hair cut. Dr. Farrell, yes. He said, have you seen my new Bible? I said, no, let me see it. I said, how old is this Bible? He said, it's about 3 weeks old. He said, I bought it the day I got saved. I said, well, that's great. He said, yes, sir. And he said, I've read all of Matthew and all of Mark and most of Luke. He said, I have a question. Does God repeat himself? And remember, he's only been saved 3 weeks. And I said, no, God doesn't repeat himself. But what he does is he gives us a panoply to look at himself and find out what he's like, because he wants us to love him more and not to love somebody else. He got so excited, he came to the front of the chair and he brought his towel and he went, isn't that great? He went back and cut my hair and I started crying. My wife will tell you I don't cry much. But a man's been saved 3 weeks, seems to love the Lord more than I loved after I'd been saved 50 years. There's a problem. There's a problem. Tonight, in a few minutes, we're going to stand, we're going to close the service, and you're going to have an opportunity to repent. And remember, and repeat, and come back to Jesus. Because I want you to know tonight, there's nothing you've ever done that keeps God from you except your unwillingness to repent of the sin God deals with. Is God dealing with you tonight? I'm giving you an opportunity right here before we bow our heads to pray to make up your mind, I'm going to do right. Because every time I preach and give an invitation and you say no, you personally vote against genuine revival. And fellas, I'm so thankful for how you sing, but the question is not how do you sing, how are you walking with God? And I'm thankful for Brother Moon, and when I found out he moved over here and he said, can you come and preach? And I had that opening, I said, yes, I can come and preach. And the question you have to handle right now, did God just speak to you? Are you going to run from Him or are you going to run to Him? Let's stand and bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. It'll never change. But tonight it can change us. How many of you could say tonight, preacher, if I drop dead right now just like I am, I'd go straight to heaven. I can prove that from the Bible. If I died tonight just like I am, I'd go straight to heaven. I can prove that from my Bible. If that's true about you and you can prove that from your Bible, would you raise your hand as a testimony? That's me. That's me. That's me. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight and you'd say, preacher, I don't know. I'm not certain. You know, it's not a crime not to know you're going to heaven, but it is hell if you are not saved.